Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we're in the fifth of eight studies from the Beatitudes. Those statements that Jesus made at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount where he said, blessed are. He made eight different statements there. And tonight we're on number five, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And we've mentioned as we've gone along that we're talking about God's idea of blessedness, not the world's, not more prosperity, although God loves us, wants us to prosper if it's good for us. Not more money, not more possessions, but God's blessings, God's favor, God's approval. And it's not based on our circumstances, it's not based on our possessions, it's not based on our position, our power, any of those things. It's based on what happens inside of us, not around us. That's on your note sheet there. Blessedness is not based on what's happening around me, but what's happening in me. Jesus made it very clear that our blessedness, our happiness, comes from our attitudes. And so we've been defining the Beatitudes as the attitudes and character traits that God wants to develop within us. We've covered four so far. The first one, blessed are the poor in spirit. Talking about not material or financial poverty, but spiritual poverty. Poverty meaning I don't have what I need. So spiritually, I don't have what I need spiritually. And the blessedness comes because we recognize I don't have what I need, so I turn to God. And God gives me what I need as I turn to Him. The second one goes along with that. Blessed are those who mourn. It's talking about those who mourn over their sin. They repent. Mourn over their pain. And the blessing comes because, again, we turn to God. And when we turn to God, God responds to our repentance and forgives us. And God responds to our crying out in pain to bring comfort. The third one is blessed are the meek. And we talk about how meek doesn't mean weak. It's talking about strength, controlled by love, and just being submitted to God, saying, God, I'm putting control over to you. You're going to take care of me, so I don't have to be out of control. And then last week we talked about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are desperate to please God. And we concluded, as Jesus said, that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. And it means filled to overflowing, filled to saturated. And it's not blessed are those who are righteous, but blessed who are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, you don't have to wait till you're totally righteous to be blessed. Just hunger and thirst after God, and God's going to bless you for it. So again, we're on the fifth one tonight, Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So we're going to talk about, first of all, what is the meaning of mercy or merciful? So what does the word merciful mean? On your note sheet, I got showing or exercising blank. What do you think goes in the blank? What does merciful mean? Showing or exercising? Mercy. Compassion. That'd be a good word to put in there too. But you know how the dictionary is. You look up a definition of a word and it uses the same word in the definition. And so compassion would be a great word. But the dictionary says that merciful means showing or exercising mercy. So we really need to get to the root of what the definition of mercy is. Before we fill in the blanks, what do you think the word, the definition of mercy is? What are some words that come to your mind, some concepts that come to your mind when you think of the idea of mercy? Chris?
Unmerited.
In other words, we don't deserve it. Okay. What else?
God's love.
God's love. Manifestation of God's love. Okay. Anything else?
Favor.
Favor. Mm-hmm. And the words you mentioned earlier fits too, compassion. Okay, compassion fits very much into the whole idea of mercy. Anything else?
Sympathy.
Yeah, not just feeling sorry for, but feeling with. Okay. On your note sheet, I have this definition, which I got off the internet at a definition site. Mercy is compassion. There's Dorothy's word. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. And it's not in there, we're going to get into this a little bit more, but the idea that Chris mentioned there, that it's unmerited, it's not deserved. And we're in a position to punish or harm someone, and the idea is that they probably deserve it. But instead, we show compassion and forgiveness. So compassion or forgiveness shown to someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. I asked you earlier, a minute ago, for some other words that come to your mind. I've got down here, it implies generosity, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, compassion, meeting needs. I have this quote on your note sheet. Mercy is love in action. I don't know who said it, but I found it. Mercy is love in action. Bob mentioned God's love. You know, God is the greatest demonstrator of mercy. All right? And it's more than just feeling sorry. The next thing I have on your note sheet there, I think this really narrows it down. Mercy gives more help and less punishment than is deserved. Again, getting back to that idea Chris mentioned, it's unmerited, it's undeserved. Okay, you deserve punishment, but you're not going to be punished, okay, as much as you deserve. All right, and I'm going to help you. You may not deserve a lot of help, but I'm going to help you more than you deserve. In other words, you know, this idea of mercy goes a lot along with the idea of grace, and mercy. And sometimes people think they mean the same thing, and they are very, very close. I like to look at it this way, that grace is when God gives us something we don't deserve, and mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Okay? Those aren't strict definitions, but I'm just saying it kind of gets the idea across there. Norris. Mm-hmm. How many of you have ever been shown mercy by a policeman when you got pulled over? Now we know who's gotten pulled over. Okay. Yeah, that's a good example. You know, the greatest example of someone who's merciful is the Lord. Psalm 145:8, I have that on your note sheet, is the greatest verse about this. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So we think of someone being merciful. What would you say would be the opposite of that? How would you describe, or how could you describe someone who is not merciful, unmerciful? What are some words that may be true about them? Hard-hearted. Yeah, I've got that on my list. What else? Mean. What? Cruel. Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Wicked. Chris? Oh, Pharaoh. He did not recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac. And he definitely was an example of someone who was unmerciful. Yeah. My list here, I got hard-hearted, stingy, resentful, unforgiving, bitter, grudge-holding, vengeful, selfish, self-centered, and helpful. So, probably a lot of other words that could fit in there. I want to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever been in a situation where you didn't show mercy. Because I think we probably all would have to raise our hands at sometime or another. The restatement I have is this way: blessed are those who kindly give others what they need, not what they deserve. And I threw that word kindly in there on purpose. In other words, it's not grudgingly. I mean, it's better to do it grudgingly and let God work on your heart, okay? But you know you're getting more and more merciful when you can kindly say, oh man, you really deserve for me to come down on you hard, but I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to help you, and all that kind of stuff. So blessed are those who kindly give others what they need, not what they deserve. Can you think of any positive examples of this in the Bible? People who are merciful. People who are merciful. David? Mm-hmm. He was definitely merciful towards Saul. Mm-hmm. And Saul's son. And Saul's grandson. Mephibosheth. Mm-hmm. Janet? Joseph. Mm-hmm. Joseph was very merciful toward his brothers. They sold him into slavery, and after originally planning to kill him, but he forgave them. Okay. As we think back to Sunday, many of you were here Sunday, and I preached. It's interesting how this lesson goes right along with my sermon from Sunday on compassion. And we looked at the story of the prodigal son. Not the prodigal son. I'm sorry. The Good Samaritan. Okay. In the story of the Good Samaritan, who was merciful? The Good Samaritan, right? In the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, who was unmerciful? The priest and the Levite. Yeah, the religious leaders. Yes. In the prodigal son, yes. That's probably why I had that slip of my tongue. Because the father in the prodigal son was very merciful. You're right. If you look at a negative example, we talk about the priest and the Levite and the Good Samaritan. Jesus also told a parable in Matthew 18 about forgiveness. And the guy who had been forgiven by a great debt went out and strangled a servant that owed him a couple bucks. So even though the king had been merciful to him, he was unmerciful to the other servant. Yes, Chris. Yes, Hosea was merciful to his wife. If you're not familiar with the story, Hosea was the prophet that God said, I want you to go marry an unfaithful woman. And it was an illustration of God's love for his people because they had been unfaithful to him. And so Hosea was merciful to his wife. So I think we have a good idea of the understanding of the meaning of merciful. And the blessing is that they will receive mercy. They will receive mercy. Now, that's pretty easy to understand. Basically, you give mercy, you get mercy. So the restatement here is that God and others will treat them the same way. God and others will treat them the same way. So if you put that all together, it's blessed are those who kindly give others what they need, not what they deserve, for God and others will treat them the same way. There's a statement out of the Bible that you could probably fill in the blanks without me needing to tell you. The next thing on your note sheet here, the biblical principle, you reap what you sow. Exactly. That's what it says in Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And so that's the idea behind this beatitude, and actually kind of behind almost all of them. That if you show mercy, you'll receive mercy. Okay? You reap what you sow. I put it another way on there also. You get what you give. You get what you give. And you know that principle works with good things and it works with bad things. You know, a good thing to keep in mind. If you criticize a lot, you might end up being on the receiving end of a lot of criticism. Okay? If you talk bad about people a lot, you might end up being on the receiving side of people talking bad about you. You gossip about people a lot, you know, you might end up being on the receiving side of it. But if you're really friendly to people, you'll probably be on the receiving end of people being friendly. And again, the idea of merciful. If you're a very generous person, you might find that people are generous to you. Now, is this a guarantee? Will we always get what we give? No. Because there are some people that are mean no matter what you do to them. You know what I'm saying? You can be nice, and you need to be nice to them all day long, and they still might be mean to you. But in general, if you're a merciful person, you will get mercy back from most people. If you're friendly to others, you will most often get friendliness back. If you're compassionate toward others, you will most often get compassion back. Okay? Yes, Barbara. That's a very, very good, important thought. That sometimes you may give mercy, compassion, help to someone, and they may not be grateful or may not respond in kind, but God will turn around and have someone else respond to you that way. And to be honest with you, I think that's part of what Jesus is saying here, is you be merciful. And no matter how other people respond to you, at least you know that God will be merciful to you. And I don't know about you, I'd much rather have God merciful to me than anybody else. You know, if I got to choose between one or the other, okay? Tim, you had your hand up first, and then Egbert. Tim. And that's a very, very important thought, that our motivation for doing this is so significant. That, you know, we talk about sowing so we reap, you get what you give. We don't give to get, okay? But we do what's right, we give, we are merciful because it's right. And that's because we've already received it. Okay, and we do it not to get great reward, not just in a sense from God or prosperity or whatever, or so that other people will look at us and say, look at what they did. Okay, you just do it because it's right, and then God will reward you. Yeah, very, very good. Now, keep in mind that if you want to receive this blessing, if you want to receive mercy, you've got to give it. You don't need to be one of those people we talked about a minute ago who is hard-hearted, stingy, resentful, unforgiving, bitter, grudge-holding, and all those other things. Okay. I got two other categories I want us to look at before we finish tonight. How do I show mercy? And why, basically? On your note sheet says, I will be merciful because, but why should we show mercy? All right? So how do I show mercy? It's easy to say, if you're merciful, you will receive mercy. But what does that look like, very practically speaking? The first one is this. If I'm merciful, I will be patient with those who are peculiar. Now, I got this, you know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I got a list from Rick Warren, and I got this list from Rick Warren, too. So I got some study stuff by him on the Beatitudes, so I borrow some things from him every once in a while. But this list I got from him, I will be patient with those who are peculiar. Now, who qualifies as being peculiar? Now, don't point at anybody. Chris is raising his hand. He's saying, no, that's not what you... Tim was very patient with the Jehovah's Witnesses that came. Yes. Okay. Who qualifies with for being peculiar? Don't name names. I'm just saying. Who are those that we need to be patient with? Tim.
People with disabilities.
Yeah. Okay. What else? Proud and arrogant people. Yes. Okay. How about people that are just really different? You ever met any people like that? If you never have, chances are you're the one. So, just joke. Chris. People that are lost, but they think they're in the truth, and they can be very difficult. People that are obnoxious, hard to get along with. You know, I'll be honest with you, the quick answer to that is anybody you find it difficult to be patient with. Right? That's the person we need to be patient with. So if we're merciful, we show that mercy by being patient with those who are peculiar. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle." Don't you need patience with the idle? It's like, I'm working hard and they're just sitting around doing nothing. He says, "Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Okay, so now, how can we show mercy if we don't feel like it? Ask God to help you. Is there anything else that we can do to make it easier for us to show mercy with people to people that we really don't want to show mercy? Anything that would make that easier for us? Pray. What? What?
Empathy.
Yes. And what does empathy mean? It means you try to feel with them, feel for them. I've got a number of things that fit right under that category. If you look at their backgrounds. There's a reason why they are the way they are. Now, sometimes it's just because they're mean and stubborn, all right? But sometimes it's because of the way they were raised. Sometimes it's because of the way they were treated, and they don't know how to treat anybody any differently, or they think that's normal. Sometimes they've been through something really, really rough, and sure, they shouldn't take it out on you, but how many times have we been through something tough and we end up taking it out on somebody else? You know, a spouse or a child or whatever. You know, it may be the type of thing, if you learned more about them, you say, you wouldn't be so impatient, be like, man, I can't believe how far you've come. You know, where you are, it's not really where you need to be, but it's amazing what God's already done in them. So think about where they've come from, in the sense of how far they've come. Look past the external to the internal. Sometimes people are very lonely. They're hurting. They're depressed. They're anxious. So empathy means you try to understand where they're coming from. And that will help you to be more merciful. Now, you pray, too, and ask God to help you, because some people, you just got to have God's supernatural help to be merciful to them. Tim?
No.
Don't kick the dog. Yeah, have mercy to your dog, okay? That's funny. Romans 15:7 says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. For the glory of God." A lot of translations say, "Therefore, accept one another." Okay? The English Standard Version is one that says, "Welcome." I kind of like the "welcome" better, because "welcome" has the idea of gladly, willingly, warmly accepting and welcoming someone, rather than just, well, you just gotta accept them. You know, because that can have the connotation of, I'll do it, but I really don't want to. I'll grit my teeth the whole time, you know. So, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So, I will be patient with those who are peculiar. Number two, how do I show mercy? I will forgive those who have fallen. I will forgive those who have fallen. That's not always easy. You know, sometimes it's easy to gloat. I want to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever seen somebody that made a mistake and they fell on their face and you're kind of glad? Yeah? Whether because they had treated you poorly or because they were very proud, it's like, oh, they got their own, you know? Some of you are honest enough to actually admit it and say it out loud, but it's true for all of us, isn't it? Yeah. Forgive those who have fallen. I like this statement. When something like that happens, do you rub it in or do you rub it out? Confession back there. Rub it in. Okay, well, we need to work on rubbing it out rather than rubbing it in. Okay? You know that old statement, do you hold it over their head? Yeah, we can all be guilty of that. You know? We can all be guilty of that. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. See, that's the key right there. If we leave that out, it's like, I don't feel like forgiving. I don't want to forgive. Then you go, well, how has the Lord forgiven you? Oh, yeah. God has forgiven us. And we've not deserved it. And know some terrible things. So it says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And going back to that, I don't have it on the note sheet, but that parable Jesus told in Matthew 18 about the unforgiving servant. You know, how could we not forgive others when God has forgiven us of so much? And that really was a root teaching in Jesus' ministry. You know, even in the prayer he taught his disciples, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. And it's the only line in the prayer that Jesus felt like he should expand on. He says, because if you don't forgive others, then God won't forgive you. That's a real theological conundrum we won't get into tonight. But, you know, we need to forgive. We've been forgiven. So it's interesting, when we need to receive forgiveness, it feels so right. But when we need to give forgiveness, it just doesn't feel right that we should forgive them. You know, I came across this story. It's funny. This lady was at the photographer's and she was having some pictures made. And she was looking at the proofs and she didn't like any of them. And she said, this picture doesn't do me justice. And the photographer says, you don't need justice. You need mercy. So anyway. Okay. So if I'm going to show mercy, I will forgive those who have fallen. Number three, I will help those who are hurting. That goes along with the sermon from Sunday. I will help those who are hurting. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. So I said Sunday, when somebody shares a need with us and we say, I will pray with you about that, and very sincerely, and we need to pray with them about that, we need to add to that, Lord, I'm praying for this need. I ask you to meet it, but is there some way you want to use me to meet this need? So help those who are hurting. 1 John 3:17-18 says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. John Wesley, I'm sure you've heard his name before. John and Charles were brothers. God used them greatly in revival. But John Wesley said this. He said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. In other words, always do good. Okay? The fourth one is, I will do good to my enemies. Now, that's not what society tells us. That's not what our culture tells us. But I think we're all mature enough in the Lord to realize that Jesus tells us that we need to do good to our enemies. Luke chapter 6, verse 32 and then 35 to 36, Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. He has a whole other level there. He says, God is merciful. Be like your Father. Okay? Be like your Father. So, I have this quote on your note sheet there. It says, the best way to eliminate an enemy is to turn them into a friend. Okay? The best way to eliminate an enemy is to turn them into a friend. So, why should I be merciful? Why should I be merciful? I mean, besides the fact that God says so, okay? And if we choose to want to obey God, what are some good reasons for us to be merciful? Yes, Chris. Oh, you're talking about Saul, who turned into Paul. Saul and Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great example of someone who made a real turnaround in their life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will be merciful because why? Three different reasons here. I will be merciful, number one, because God has shown me mercy. And we've already talked about that. We've read some scriptures. We're exhorted, be merciful as your Father, Heavenly Father, is merciful. We talked about the parable that Jesus told about the king who forgave the man of so much, and he turned around and was not forgiving of those who owed him so much less. And the picture there being God has forgiven us of so much, so we should forgive others. So God has shown me mercy. We need to just remember sometimes what a jerk we've been with God. And He still loves us. Okay? Matthew 18:33 comes out of that parable. And the statement that comes out of the king's mouth, which basically is coming out of God's mouth, says, "And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" You know, there's so many examples in Scripture. I think of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus had mercy on him now, on her. Now he said, "Go and sin no more," but he had mercy on her. Okay? I put this on your note sheet because it's just so true. We have a tendency to judge others by their faults and ourselves by our best intentions. In other words, we can do the exact same thing as somebody else, but it was worse when they did it. Because we had the right intentions, we just didn't carry it out right. Well, we don't assume that they had good intentions. They meant to do something wrong. They meant to hurt us. Now, we didn't mean to do that. You know, but we're always a lot. You know, there is one person we're always good at being merciful to. Ourselves. All right? That's what it comes down to. All right? So we have a tendency to judge others by their faults and ourselves by our best intentions. Yes, Gene? The golden rule. That's right. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's a great segue into number two on here. I will be merciful because God has shown me mercy. But number two, because I'm going to need more mercy in the future. Okay? How do we know that we're going to need more mercy in the future? Because we're sinners. We're still a mess. We're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to hurt other people. We're still going to cause problems, even if we do have the best of intentions. And it's like, I'm going to store up some mercy because I know I'm going to need some for later. All right? James 2:13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. The basic idea here is that if you don't show mercy, then you're not going to be shown mercy. All right? Forgiveness must be given to get. I like this statement. That's why I put it on your note sheet. Be careful about demanding justice. God might give it to you. Okay? You know, we're so quick to, it's like, God, get them. Get them. You know, they're doing wrong. They've hurt me. They've done this. You get them, God. I'm just as guilty driving down the road. Somebody cuts me off or whatever. It's like, God, get them. You know? But we want justice for everybody else, but then we want mercy for ourselves. So be very, very careful about demanding justice because God might just give it to you. I've told this story before. I read about this guy who somebody had really treated him wrong. I mean, honestly, sincerely, I think they swindled out of some money or something, this guy that was in ministry. And he was just praying one day, God, would you just, oh, Lord, would you just take care of that? On the day of judgment, just, Lord, just get him for that. And God spoke to his heart and said, I will, as long as you don't mind me bringing up every stupid thing you've ever done. So he kind of changed his mind. There under number two, the last thing there before number three, God does not give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. And we need to do the same. God doesn't always give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need, and we should do the same. The third reason why we should be merciful, I'll be merciful because, number three, it will make me happy. Merciful people are just happier. Proverbs 11:17 says, "A man who is kind benefits himself." You would think it's a man who is kind benefits the person he's kind to. But it says a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Why or how is this true? That if we're merciful, it'll make us happier. Any thoughts? Because, well, that's a spiritual principle, but I'm saying, why does it work that way? What is it about being merciful that makes us happy? Yeah, it brings peace. Sure, it brings peace. Yeah. God blesses it. Okay? I mean, you could say just the opposite. Unhappy are the unmerciful. Have you found it to be true? I have. That sometimes the most miserable people are the people that are resentful, bitter, grudge-holding, unforgiving, selfish. You know, he said it many times. When you choose not to forgive someone else, you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting them. Most of the time, they could care less. They're going about their lives, you know? You've heard this before. It's not original with me that, you know, not forgiving someone else thinking it's going to hurt them is like drinking rat poison thinking the other person is going to die. You know, you're hurting yourself. You know, unforgiveness and unmercifulness. You know, it hurts us. So, as we close tonight, I just want to ask you a question. Who in your life needs a little mercy? Who in your life needs a little mercy? If we're gonna say we're showing mercy by, I'll be patient with those who are peculiar. Who in your life are you finding yourself needing to be patient with? Okay? Forgiving those who have fallen, who are you finding? It's like, I need to forgive them. I need to let that go. Who is it that's around you that's hurting that maybe God wants you to help? And who around you that maybe you wouldn't consider them an enemy, but they consider you an enemy? And God's saying, you need to actively do good to them. That's how we can apply it tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you are molding us and shaping us into your image. And sometimes it's really easy to cooperate with that process, and sometimes we resist. Father, help us to be merciful like you. Father, first of all, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, as the psalmist said, that you have forgiven us. Lord God, you don't give us what we deserve. As we trust in you, you give us what we need. You give us forgiveness, mercy, grace. You take care of us, Lord God, when we're totally undeserving. Help us to be more like you. God, I pray that you'd help us to be patient with those people, Lord God, that it's just so easy to be impatient with, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to forgive others when they hurt us, Lord, even when they do it on purpose. Help us to help those that are around us to the extent that we can, and as you lead us to do that. And Lord, help us to treat those who would consider us their enemies well. Help us to do good to them. And Lord, in the process, I pray that they would see your love in us, and Lord, that they would be turned around, just like the Apostle Saul turned around, Lord God, and became Paul and changed from a persecutor, Lord God, into a preacher of the gospel. Use us in whatever way you can see fit, Lord God, but use us by showing your compassion and your mercy and your grace through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.